one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Sponsored by the Downtown Lincoln Foundation. Here is your host, Derek Pearson.
Boom, this is one-on-one here with DP on 93.7 The Ticket. Still working with DP as he is joining us live from Las Vegas. We will work to kind of get his sound there. I don't think he can hear too well as of yet, but we will get that going here and get the voice of one-on-one with DP on in just a second. But we do want to thank our bowl game sponsors, because without them, we would not be bringing you DP from Vegas. And once again, he'll join us here in a second as we work out some of the bugs. But did want to thank our sponsors here for the bowl game coverage. You'll hear plenty of from us in the next couple of days. But Amigos/Kings Classic, score big with Amigos fan favorites like soft tacos, crisps, meat burritos, and of course, game-changing ranch dressing. Amigos now has 8 value-priced value meals priced at $5 and $6. Tackle your game day hunger with a bold, fresh flavors of Amigos. Advanced Medical Imaging, AMI Surgery Center, specializes in cardiology, vascular radiology, orthopedics, pain management, and more. Call them today at 402-261-1085 or go to amimaging.com. Ben Bleicher of PRG Berkshire Hathaway Ambassador Real Estate. Trust Ben's team of realtors who offer decades of experience, unbeatable customer service, and a promise to fully protect your interest throughout the transaction. Call 402-419-6309 for your real estate needs. And also MWR Building and Fence. MWR offers their own post-frame building packages and mail to anyone desiring a building, whether you're a contractor or a DIYer. Call MWR today at 402-540-8966 or go to MWRBuildingAndFence.com. Once again, those are the sponsors for the bowl game in Las Vegas. Could see if we can hear from DP now, live from Vegas. DP, can you hear us? Can we hear you?
I hear you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Had to call the audible there, you know, coaching decisions on the fly, make a decision and make it work. It's an interesting time, Bach. First of all, how the heck are you?
Oh, not too bad. It's good little break there with Christmas. Everybody got to spend some time with the family, and now we're kind of back in the full swing with Nebraska football just a day away.
It is, I'm told, we're having better weather in Vegas than you guys are having in Lincoln. What be the story there?
Well, on Sunday it was as cold. I don't know what day you left. The wind was... the wind was kind of bad, especially that day. It wasn't too bad today. There's still some snow on the ground. Probably not as good as in Vegas, but it wasn't too bad today. As long as the wind stays down, I think we're in a good spot.
Well, we're going to enjoy the Las Vegas weather for you, kind sir. I didn't catch the, I caught you thanking our sponsors for this trip out here. But did we pay the big boys as well?
Oh, not yet. The show today is sponsored by Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing the latest quality technology and communication services since 1901. Whether it's residential or business, Hamilton has the answers. Visit HamiltonTel.com for more info today.
Thank you, kind sir. Well done. 402-464-5685, the Sarda Hammond text line, if you want to be a part of what we're doing, and if you have questions, comments, opinions, etc. And we appreciate you following us on all the live video streams as well. Facebook, YouTube, X. If you have not downloaded the Ticket app, do so. Some things coming up that we want you to have access to in duality. You'll have some options and choices. So we're working on that to let you know. And for you fancy folks on Amazon Prime, thank you very much. Bach, the vibe is this. It's weird because we expected the sea of red in Vegas. But both teams are hiding out in black. Both teams are wearing, both teams. The fan bases are the fan bases. They're going to come as they are. But the teams, we're hiding out in full black gear. It's going to be interesting, Bach. And I guess for me, my question to you is, what is your comfort level on what you're going to see tomorrow? What do you think you're going to see? Because I think that word "think" is important as we have this discussion. So what do you think you will see tomorrow?
Well, unfortunately, I think that most people look at it this way, is that it's a two possession game as far as Vegas, which you're in Vegas, has the odds going there. Nebraska is coming off two games in which they were combined, obviously losses, but outscored 77-26. And now I think likely you're going up against the best team of all of them, right, in Utah. Now, Utah is without a few folks. Nebraska's without a few folks. So maybe you can kind of throw some of that in there and keep some of it out. But unfortunately, you know, and I was kind of stating this the other day, this isn't, in two ways, this is kind of a rough matchup for Nebraska. One, in the style of play, right, where Utah is that smash mouth football team that Nebraska maybe once was, and of course has specifically given Nebraska problems with the rush defense and all that this season. Again, maybe Coach Snow can kind of come in and wave a wand and fix that, but it looks like a mismatch there. And then it's just somewhat of a mismatch as far as like Utah's on the door, knocking on the door of the playoffs. I mean, they're the number 15 team in the nation. Nebraska was not, was not. So we'll put it that way. So I think that there are a couple things working against the Nebraska in that regard. But if you kind of take that away from it, what I expect or hope to see, and hope kind of should go along with expect, because I think that's what makes a fan, you got to hold your team accountable, right? So I want to see TJ Lateef improve. I want to see the best looking TJ Lateef we've seen. I want to see running backs, somebody kind of take this opportunity to make something of it of their own. I want to see the defense obviously step up significantly and stop this rushing attack that Utah's going to bring, especially with their dual threat quarterback. So all that maybe factors more into the want compared to what I expect to see, which again, maybe it makes me a bad guy, whatever you want to say, but I just watched this team get beat 77-26 in the previous two games. So unfortunately, what I expect to see is something similar.
If I asked you this, that after seeing this entire group, and of course, some would say that this is not the best lineup Nebraska can put on the field tomorrow. Right, that it's not the best availability, it's not the healthiest, it's certainly without Dylan Raiola for whatever that means, without Emmett Johnson for whatever that means. But is the expectation too high that Nebraska can pull together with new coordinators, new fingerprints, like new chefs in the kitchen, to pull together a performance against, as you defined it, and others have described it as the best team Nebraska's going to face all year? Is that too much to ask?
I think I wouldn't say too much to ask, because Nebraska fans have had the patience over the years, obviously. But it's just one of those deals where they're going to have to surprise us in doing so at this point, right? I mean, you go with the long losing streak for both the program and Matt Rhule against top 25 teams. Again, as I was looking at it this way, this is not the most, and some people would say maybe it is because Utah's got players sitting out and all that, but this is not the most ideal matchup for of those top 25 games, right, over that time. I mean, I think the Emmett Johnson factor is huge. Where would Nebraska be this year without Emmett Johnson? It's hard to say. They're going to have to do it differently, kind of with a different look, like you said, with kind of different chefs in the kitchen, kind of jumping in and out halfway there, halfway not for this thing. So it doesn't feel, unfortunately, again, I wish I could come on air and say, I think this is the big breakout game and this is where I think it's going to happen and all that sort of stuff, but they're going to have to surprise me a little bit, and I think surprise Husker Nation a little bit and pull together this win. And if they do, it can mean great things heading into the offseason, a whole new scope and look at what happened this year. But if things go as many people might expect it to, then you're kind of in, you know, three straight losses. Yes, it's a shift, and Matt Rhule might want to say, you know, it's not reshuffling the deck. It's not, you know, whatever phrasing frustrates him, but it's hard to look at it otherwise. And it would be hard to say, why wouldn't you do that after three straight losses that would come in that fashion? Again, Nebraska maybe can kind of land somewhere in the middle, not quite win this game, but be competitive, you know, lose by a possession or 10 points. And then you could come out with a different kind of take from it. But ultimately, I think Nebraska is going to have to surprise not just me, but people, Vegas, everybody out there to keep this game competitive. And the reasons are well known and kind of listed out.
Yeah, it has been interesting. I went in, I tried to clean the palate, right, coming out here and cleaning up old luggage when it comes to mentalities about who Nebraska football currently is, who Utah football currently is. And what you want to hope is that Nebraska catches lightning in a bottle. And I hate to say that it has to be lightning in a bottle. We saw flashes. So if we said that UCLA Nebraska shows up, what happens? All right, what does that mean? Because that's the best version that we've seen with TJ Latif behind center, and then defensively being able to make plays to get off the field and leave a building with a win. This is, you know, in fact, a road game. I would tell you that normally there is a greater resource of Husker fans in the building. I'm not sure that will be the case tomorrow. Utah has a very finite way of traveling to Vegas from Utah. They know the path. They know where to stay. They know how to get here. They know how to get it done. So it's not really that. I don't feel comfortable in. And then there's no need.
Feeling sluggish from all the extra food, drinks, and celebrations? Kick off the new year with a science-backed reset. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox is a patented, simple two-step system that supports your liver, gut, and whole body detoxification, helping clear out what's slowing you down so you feel energized for the year ahead. It's more than a cleanse. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox helps reset your system. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There's plenty of places for folks to go and get Nebraska bashing going into this thing. And there are no ideal bowl situations. It's just, it's better or worse, depending on how you feel about it. Gus Mohawk asked the question. He said, who's missing more overall for the bowl game, Nebraska or Utah? That's quantitative. You know, the two best players on the field may not play. Right? Like, the two best players for Utah may not play. Maybe three best players. The three best players on the field, like, who would be eligible to play, may not play. But keys and vital, missing Emmett Johnson is a statement out loud. And as much as this is people want to put this on TJ Latif, as I read a story that said this was an iconic moment. This may be the biggest game that TJ Latif plays as a Husker. I don't agree with that at all. And I don't want to do that to the kid. Like, why would you do that to the kid? That in his, you know, in his quarterback infancy at the college level in the Power Four level in the Big Ten, why would you put that on him? We don't do that to people. We know all the bad that happens when we put that kind of immediate and undue pressure on freshman quarterbacks. So let's not do that. Allow him to go and be great. And if he's great, you applaud it. But if he fails, it's a part of the process. Literally, you're putting in one of his earliest starts as a college quarterback, You're putting him in against a Utah defense that is amongst the angriest, most aggressive, and violent in all of college football. That's everybody. So putting that on him. But I think as much as we look at TJ and what's in play for him, and quite frankly, he's familiar with a lot of people he's playing against. He played against him in high school, so he knows a lot of the opponents. But then it becomes Tyler Kanak. What do you get from him playing one-handed against a violent, aggressive, physical Utah defensive front, right? That there's two Husker linemen that have one good hand. I mean, if you're talking about Rocco and Tyler, what's this mean for them? What does it mean for Tyler Kanak? If you're going to put that on TJ, you got to put it on Tyler. If you're going to put it on those two, then you have to put it on whoever is RB1 and 2 or 1A and 1B, because this is their breakthrough first debut as the bell cow or the potential bell cow running backs for Nebraska, right? What are you going to – so you have to be careful in the pressures that in these conversations you want to put on them. I think both teams are missing valuable talent. There's some new coaching situations on both sides. Utah's got its own stuff to deal with Kyle Whittingham and Morgan Scally. And Scally has been a force and a factor within the Utah program, since 2002. So Scally is a Ute. They know him, and they know him as a player. They know him as a man. They know him as a coach. They know him as a coordinator, and now they will know him as the head guy. I don't think there's going to be much difference other than the fact that there are people in Utah on that Utah roster that, quite frankly, some of them, this is an opportunity for them to impress Morgan, right? It's a chance for Morgan to press the play on some of the players that maybe he thought more of than, say, Kyle did. There's some players on the depth chart that have the opportunity to showcase that, hey, Coach Galley, I'm your guy next year. Like, it's the same old Utah Utes, but it's different. And how they respond to that, the thought was that people were going to play for Kyle. But what we know in bowl games, especially now, is that players play for themselves. Like, they play for their brand. This is their legacy and resume, and it's an opportunity for them to play through. Nebraska has a lot of the if players are missing and new starters are named for Nebraska, they have an opportunity. Now, I use the word think in the first question because I think Nebraska players think they're prepared to play their best game of the season. And I say that in full sincerity, that I think Nebraska players think they're going to play their best game against Utah tomorrow. In discussion we've got some things, we're doing some things. And the coaches have been open that, bringing in, new coaches has added some juice for the squeeze. So they may in full honestly think that this is going to go very well for Nebraska. I also would tell you that Utah thinks that they're going to put on a dominant performance against Nebraska. So it's a lot in play. Bach, on an interesting transition for what it means for this program. Because this, I say it each week. This is the opportunity that, like, after today's game, this is every week. It's always, you're 500 with a chance to to extend yourself, with a win, you feel so much better about this program going forward than after a loss, because a loss is going to be some lessons that mean some things you think are right are not right. Like, that's the coaching mentality is. You don't go into a game thinking you don't have the answers. You think you have an answer for whatever question can be asked. That's if you know the questions. But if it doesn't work, then Bob, either you had the wrong answers or you didn't ask the right questions. And that leading to an entire offseason is different in Nebraska. And I can tell you it's different in Nebraska than most places that I've ever lived, because the vacuum is so active and so full with the conversations about what it all means. So listen, a win against Utah changes a lot of the discussion. A loss against Utah is a statement out loud about the state of the program with more questions. And I say it all the time, Bach, and I mean it. You can tell the state of a program by the number of questions that you have about it. And Bach, 1 to 10, how many questions you got about Nebraska football going to this thing tomorrow?
Oh, many more than that. I mean, it's a lot. And that's what you hope, right? Is that you do get some answers for all these questions, and you hope to see some of the young guys step in. I mean, I think that's part of the excitement about tomorrow's game. And, you know, you can get all into, you know, bowl games and people sitting out and what do bowl games mean now. But one of the exciting parts is it's really a big look into what is going to be next year. Who's going to step up? Who's going to, you know, kind of take on some of these roles? And so whether it be by injury, I mean, we see Singleton now not going to be available for the game. Okay, well, then let's get a good look at Justin Rhett. You know, let's kind of see. So hopefully some of those answers maybe could pop up and you can answer those throughout the game, or at least feel more comfortable about them moving into next season. But like you said, I mean, there's a lot more questions after losing 40 to 16 or 37 to 10 than there are answers. And so that's in Nebraska's answered some of those questions for what it means next year. And now you're just kind of in this middle ground, and you've got Phil Snow coaching the defense and Eckler helping out. And we don't have a defensive line coach yet. So Matt Rule's turning his head around backwards. And so you at least kind of get an idea to see, okay, if that works, what worked about it, right? But you just hope, like you said, they are asking the right questions. And like I always say too, is don't go into this game with one plan. Okay. If that starts to not work, you better have a backup plan. You better start to think about some other things that you can get going, or you're just going to be, you know, running your head into a wall.
Well, this is one of those things that with bowl games, program identity and team identity always come into play. Who you are at your core, because when friction happens in sports, especially at the higher levels, you engage, and then if you are gaining ground, you sink deeper into your core to gain a greater advantage. If you engage and you lose ground, you engage your core, you go back to your foundation to regain footing so that you can go forward. And for the first time this season, and Bach, it hit me yesterday. For the first time this season, this team will take the field without Emmett Johnson and without Dylan Raiola. What is the identity of this offense going to be? And if this is a Dana Holgorsen showcase, what will it show us? Maybe, you know, there's some irons in the fire for the passing game. Maybe it is utilizing whoever running backs 1A and 1B out of the backfield more if the run game itself and its purity doesn't work, right? Because you better have a choice. The simplest way to protect a young quarterback is the run game. It's the run game. And to not put the brunt of that run game, the production of the run game, on the quarterback. A small quarterback. A small young quarterback. But this is a part of the system. The read system is a part of what Dana wants to do. An RPO game has some advantages against Utah if that's what you're able to do. But then that means you start looking, then you got to get wins outside on the perimeter for the RPO game to work. and take some of that burden off. And do you feel comfortable in believing that Nebraska's 3, 4, 5 top receivers can get open wins on man-to-man covers against Utah's corners? What say you, Jake?
Well, I think that could be proved to be difficult. We haven't seen too much of that. And again, I think that was with, at least in Dylan Raiola, you know, kind of a guy that was more suited to that offense, or at least doesn't have the backup plan of kind of the mobility that you have in TJ Latif. You know, this is a pretty darn good pass defense there for Utah. And over the years, Kyle Whittingham and the reason why they chose Morgan Scalley is that defense has been pretty darn good. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's the route to go. I mean, you hope maybe like a Barney or a Hunter can kind of pop off and have a big game here, maybe find a mismatch there. But I think what hasn't been talked about enough, and I think it's partially because Nebraska doesn't have Emmett Johnson, is if Emmett did play in this game, I think there's a path there, right, to kind of feel, because Utah, as good as we talk about and how much they run the ball well on the offensive side of the ball, that's kind of their weakness on defense is rush defense. They gave up 293 yards to one guy in Kansas State. And now they're down, even in it wasn't from the lack of talent. They had some really talented guys, but one is opting out. One's injured. Their guy that had 11.5 sacks actually entered the transfer portal, I think, today, which look out for him maybe to go to Michigan. But so I think that's more the path that Nebraska might have. But then you just kind of sit there with the question, well, who's going to be the leading rusher? Who's going to get the ball? And that's where I really don't have an answer, because I couldn't tell you. Maybe TJ Latif could kind of mix it in. Other than that, you've got, you know, three running backs that are going to be fighting for that spot. Nebraska's got to figure it out. So it's kind of, it's a good matchup in that way, that Nebraska, if Nebraska doesn't get the run game going, I assume obviously the other side of the ball is stopping the runs number one, but we say this often with Nebraska, seems to be true in many football games. This game's going to be won in the trenches. Can Nebraska fight back offensively for a little bit of damage that's going to be done, and hopefully not a whole lot of damage that's going to be done on the defensive side of the ball for them?
Well, Bach, we're gonna take our first break. We'll get to Kent. Kent has an interesting question for us. Cubsker, it's good to see you on. We'll react and respond to yours. But Bach, we're gonna go back in time. Jimmy Greek used to do a thing in his pregame analysis of going group against group and trying to identify who had the advantage. And I want to do this because I found it fascinating at what my brain processed, because I thought it would go a certain way. It didn't. It didn't go the way if you said which group has the advantages, but will help us look at them. We'll do all those when we come back to one-on-one.